Would you please lead us in the pledge?
Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I have one announcement out of closed session. The board, by a unanimous vote, passed confidential resolution number 2012-1323, suspending one certificated employee without pay and authorizing the superintendent or her designee to issue a notice of intention to terminate and statement of charges. Okay, at this time, I'll turn it over to Tamara Gresham. She's our new student representative to the board.
The Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts February School Board Report. Current fundraisers. February is the junior class month. Their fundraisers include popcorn, buy a crush for your crush Valentine's grams, $2 a piece, pizza on Fridays, Arizona tea, hot cocoa, and muffin pastries. March will be the sophomore class's fundraising month. MCAA PTSA selling script gift cards. Recent events. Winter Ball was hosted by the junior class on February 2nd from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at the Allen Scott Youth Center. Community meeting during 9th block on February 6th included multiple performances and recognition for honor students, estimated about 230 students. Upcoming events. Black History Month presentation on February 22nd at 6:30 in the auditorium. Little Fiddle Dance at February 28th at 7 o'clock p.m., the strings class fundraiser. Sophomore class hosts a Sadie Hawkins dance on March 8th. Battle of the Bands on March 16th at the Allen Scott Youth Center, $10 admission. And Midsummer Night's Dream opens March 21st at 7 o'clock p.m. in the auditorium. And the February School Board Report for Lyndhurst High School. This week is Sweetheart Week. At the Senate meeting, they talked about getting protein snacks, new books for the library, and filling up the female dispensers in the girls' locker room. The rally and dance went successful. Many people enjoyed it. The academic decathlon won second place. Many clubs are currently doing Valentine grams as a fundraiser. Baseball's fundraiser, Papa Murphy's. Juniors are looking at goodie bags for prom. Sophomores are holding the Sadie Hawkins dance on March 22nd. FFA is doing Hunter's safety course. And OH is planting plants and selling plants after school as a fundraiser.
Okay, Tamara, thank you very much and welcome. Okay, we'll move on to our recognitions. If ask the board to step down front, please.
I'd like to invite Eric Preston, the principal at Arboga Elementary School, to come and make the three presentations.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board and audience. Let's start with this one. Anybody who ever deals with the school and goes to school functions, events, knows how important volunteers are and how we can't get things done often without volunteer help. Anybody who's been to a fall festival, who's been to an evening at a school, knows there's got to be people working the booths, there's got to be people helping. And Arboga Elementary would like to recognize Lyndhurst leadership because they have been a vital piece. They've helped us immensely over the last several years. Every time we call upon them, they're able to send students out to help us at our events, regardless what they are. They stay to help. They set up, they clean up, they perform, and we could not do what we do without their help. And so we would like to recognize Lyndhurst High School leadership as our A-plus community partner. Next up, I would like to recognize our A-plus classified employee. At a At an elementary school especially, we have very few classified employees, and so I don't want to say it's slim pickings, but it's slim pickings. And there are a few that go above and beyond, and the person that's getting this award got it the last time I gave it as well, and it's not favoritism at all. It's that this person far exceeds anything that anybody else does or has done. And so this is the person, Brenda West is our librarian, our literary resource technician. She's been at the school for years in various capacities. She's been yard duty, she worked in STARS, she's been when it was a librarian, she was a librarian, then she was a library clerk, now she's a literary resource tech. She also does tons of computer troubleshooting for us, and so pretty much anything that we ask, Brenda will do. It helps, too, that she lives, you can stand on the playground and you can probably shoot a potato gun and hit her house. It's just across the field. So oftentimes when there are events, I can call her and say, Brenda, hey, can you go check the school, make sure it's locked? Do you mind doing this? She has never told me no. And so I totally appreciate that, as do the parents that she helps, the students that she helps, and the staff that she helps. So Brenda West, this is recognizing you as our A-plus classified. All right. About that far. Yeah, it's not that much. Green what? That would be good. Yeah. Our last A-plus employee is our A-plus certificated. And at this point, I would like to recognize somebody who has been at the school for 9 years and taught, I believe, 5 years elsewhere. Okay, I got my numbers right. So a 14-year veteran, Angela Holt, teaches kindergarten and leads the kindergarten team. She is somebody who has a strong presence. She's somebody who speaks her mind, but at the same time is not afraid to ask for help, and is somebody that I can definitely go to and say, hey, I want to use you as a sounding board, and she's able to do that. She lends a hand where pretty much wherever asked. She works as a go-between between kinder and first, second and third, kinder and first, 4, 5, 6. And so I would like to recognize Angela Holt as our A-plus certificated.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our school report from Arboga Elementary. Mr. Preston.
I'm good to go. I'd like to apologize in advance. I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot. I will try to do it this way, not into the microphone. I would also like to thank the board and Dr. Todd for letting me move my presentation date. I was originally supposed to present 2 weeks ago, and the flu hit the family hard. So here I am with the residual stuff. So without any further ado, I would like to talk tonight about Arboga Elementary School, and I have quite a few talking points. Each year when we select a quote that serves as our theme, and we try to focus events around that theme, this year our quote is, "Change is inevitable, growth is intentional." I found this quote to be very fitting for our little school, not so little school. People still think of us as that little country school, and in reality, we are the fourth largest elementary school in the district out of 14. We have 524 students, and so it's we're not that little school anymore, but we still have been able to maintain that feel. Why that quote is so fitting, I believe, is that we encounter change constantly, especially in the educational field. But if all we do is dance around and meet the immediate change, the substantive change and the resulting growth never come. The quote is to remind us that in the face of change, we must be deliberate in how we act, what we do, and that our students get the intended growth. In the past 6 years, Arboga has grown its Academic Performance Index, or its API score, 83 points from 781 to 864, while our student population has also grown by 147 students. And as I mentioned, we now have 524 students. In spite of such positive growth, we have fallen prey to the negative side of No Child Left Behind, and we are now a program improvement school in year one. Rather than wallow in the negativity of this and let it brand us, we instead have chosen to fight back. And although our AYP, or Adequate Yearly Progress Goals this year, require that an unrealistic 89% of students score proficient in English language arts and 90% score proficient in math, we will rise to the challenge and attempt to get there. 9 out of 10 of our statistically significant subpopulations over the past 5 years have met that goal outright or through safe harbor in math. 8 out of 10 have done the same in English. To accomplish meeting our change or the challenge, we have had fidelity to the core curriculum and supplemented for students when necessary to ensure students have access and can grasp the instruction. We have added instructional assistance, specifically in English language arts, grades K through 3. And last year, this strategy improved our school-wide percentage of proficient and advanced students, as measured by the STAR CST, by 5.7%. So we have evidence that it's working. We have honed both of our curriculum and our instructional strategies for our English learners, a population that is both statistically significant and eager to learn. We have brought back this year a retired fourth grade teacher as an interventionist to help fourth grade work on writing. She's instructed whole class earlier in the year and is now working with small groups 2 days a week. We are continuing with the art docent program, which brings in parent volunteers to expose students to great works of art and then encourages and provides them an opportunity to create their own. Many teachers also extend this process by having students either write about the process of art or the art itself. Our GATE students this year are learning about desktop publishing, photography, and journalism. They are producing our school yearbook, and then once that's finished, they will also be doing a student newspaper, a couple of editions, hopefully. We are continuing our popular curricular nights, which provide parents and students the opportunity to come onto campus for an evening designed around a specific subject matter. We have math night, history night, history and culture night, reading night, science night, and art night. One of the best parts of these nights is that parents and students come with nothing and leave with something that they don't have to pay for. We're not asking them to purchase anything. They get to leave with things that the parents can help students learn with and from, and usually they can leave with some kind of a prize. We are continuing to work with our PTSO and other community groups to maximize what we offer our students and our school community. Upcoming events that we have are Read Across America Week, an Easter egg hunt, Arboga's Got Talent, and some other exciting events later in the spring. I would like to invite each and every one of you to come out to the site and see what's happening at Arboga Elementary School at any of these events or just any time. Hopefully you'll see that we are definitely intentional about growth and about growing our school. If you have any questions. From the front, when you drive up, it still looks like that little school, and then you go through the office, and it's Portable City, and it's not a little school, but it maintains that feel. We can still see horses in the field. We can still see goats, and we can still hear that bird or whatever it is in the field that sounds like a dying child. Yeah, it has a charm. Oh, thank you. A great staff. Yeah, you're only as good as the people that are around you, and I have a phenomenal staff. Yeah.
And don't feel bad about missing the last board meeting. I think everybody, half the people in the county have been sick with something, one thing or another. In fact, a lot of the same thing. So.
It's a nasty one.
And you're surviving without Miss Twiley. You got another good secretary.
We do. Yes, we substituted one Mrs. Smith for another, and we have a great one. Yeah. True. True. Okay, well, thank you very much for allowing me to present.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Preston. Any comments from board members, Mr. Danable?
Nothing.
Mr. Crawford?
I would like to congratulate the Lyndhurst High School wrestling team for winning once again their league championship. And thank you. Yeah, they're sending eight wrestlers on to the subsections, which is really, really good. So I'm really proud of what Lyndhurst has done. And I'm real excited for my granddaughter. I realize that Kynoch is going to have music in the schools again, and I'm a real supporter of music in our schools, and she happens to be a kindergartner there, so that's really cool. So other than that, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Harris?
Well, is it Tamara? She left already, I think. I was going to say welcome to her, but I see Frank sitting in the audience. I would personally like to thank you and your club for the service that you're providing our district in the music program. I know you talked to me last year about when you got to be president, this was one of the things you wanted. I am very excited and thankful that your club has participated like this. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Rex.
Congratulations to Marysville High School on winning the academic decathlon once again. If anybody in the audience really wants to feel like they're totally uneducated, just go to the super quiz and watch those kids answer questions about Russian hierarchy, and it was just amazing. I did manage to get to Yuba Feather and Dobbins schools this last 2 weeks and stopped by the Yes Academy. All were interesting experiences. All the schools, Yuba Feather and Dobbins were just, kids were working their brains out, so that's the plus side. And the campus under construction up there, that is an amazing thing too, the new building that's going on. That's it for me.
Mr. Miller.
I'd like to agree with Ms. Crawford to congratulate the Lyndhurst wrestling team. They've done an excellent job this year. And I expect more out of them in the coming years because they have a very young wrestling team. So hopefully they'll come through. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
I have another presentation for you. All set. Thank you. That's Penelope Jane. Penelope Jane Alloway. She was born today at 1:28. Just in time for my extended day kindergartners to go home. That's my grandchild, first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Michael's up in Portland, Oregon right now getting to hold that little girl. And I'm here. I was really hoping after 2 years of the bargaining process that at this point I would be standing before you saying, phew, I'm so happy with how things went. Yay. However, the process has some deep concerns for the MUTA leadership that I would like to share with you. The purpose of this presentation is to talk to you about why we feel that the district is in danger and to address the question of who can save it. I think we all know that information is power, and that among all the stakeholders in this district, we have to know who is it that must have the most accurate information. Personally, I feel like it's you, as the buck stops right there. And the question needs to be asked, are the trustees given complete and accurate information? The graphic that's up there is one that I presented to you in a previous presentation. It's one example. The red bars were the multi-year projection provided to you about where the end fund balance would be after 3 years in the multi-year projection. It was off by $22.7.8 million. Not accurate. A fear tactic, we feel. We have to think about the information that's given. Is it given objectively, or is it skewed by somebody's agenda? We need to ask who's responsible, ultimately, for this district. Again, we feel like it's the seven who are sitting up there. And we're wondering if the board will pick up its obligation and take control of this district because it's got some problems going on. Over the last couple of years, I've provided some information. These two are a couple of examples. When I provide this information, it's accurate. Unless, the only way it's inaccurate is if your reports to the state are inaccurate. Because it's the information that you send to the state, signed off saying that it's accurate, that I use for these graphics. That first graphic shows the decrease in how much the district has paid toward teacher salary since 07-08 school year through this one. The second one is the district's end fund balance. The blue shows the unrestricted funds and how those have changed over time, while we're supposedly deficit spending. I didn't add anything to that. I didn't take what the state owes. I took this from the unaudited actuals. They should be accurate. They're not predictions. It's what actually happened. So here are some assumptions that have been made during our process. We assumed that the trustees give directions to the superintendent. We assumed that MUTA and the district value a good working relationship. That stakeholder presentations to board members have an impact. We assumed that when the district's bargaining team tells the unit's team that they're going to have to get the authority from the board, that the district's team actually does that. And when the district's team says that it was unable to get authority from the board, we assume that it had actually asked for authority from the board. Our team was told that we could not get additional assistance for our health cap without giving up the retirement incentive for new teachers. And the reason for that is because it was so important to the board that the board had said, you got to get rid of that. So a piece of reality, MUTA, our membership, we do value a good relationship with the district. For that reason, when I present to you, I give you facts. Reality, the trustees did not know why our members came to you. Remember at the closed session meeting when we asked to be during that open part before the meeting begins and that went sort of weird how that started, but I have found out later that the trustees didn't realize why we were there. They just thought we were there to say, hey, health insurance, it's killing us. We were there because that day was a bargaining session. And we were led to believe that the district's bargaining team was going to you that evening in that closed session to request from you the authority to provide us with an increase to our cap. We were told 2 days later, I believe, that the district's team was not able to receive that authority. So you didn't want to help us with our cap. Except that the trustees were not even asked for authority. The trustees have not been included in negotiations in any way. Full knowledge, all that information that's power, all the power for this district sits in those 3 chairs. So here's how we feel about what the trustees can do to remedy this situation, to save this district. Please know the consequences of your actions before you take action. Make your own motion when the suggested motion doesn't suffice. Require accurate, coherent information. If you don't understand, ask questions. Insist that a trustee attend at the bargaining table. Begin tonight growing our relationship between you and all the stakeholders, not just us teachers. Most of all, throw away that rubber stamp. How the misassumptions have been reflected in tonight's agenda. On tonight's agenda, under Personnel Services, you have the tentative agreement with MUTA listed. In the background information, it includes the 1.64 one-time bonus, the health benefit cap being raised by $100 a month, and the salary schedule increase of 2%. Nowhere on there does it show you the concession that had to be made for that. Sorry for the scribbles. I was in a hurry. This is the last page of the agreement. It's in your packet. So not on the agenda, but in the packet. The 2 previous pages show the 1.64 and the 100 on the cap and the 2% salary increase. That part that's highlighted in green says this. The employee's first date in paid probationary status with the district must have been prior to July 1st, 2013. If you don't have the contract information in front of you, the current contract information, you may not realize that what that means is that anybody hired after July of 2013 or on July 1st and beyond will no longer get the retirement incentive. If you're not sure what that means, it means that you have to have been working in the district for at least 15 years and be between 55 and 65, and you get health insurance for giving 15. People call it the 15-day clause because that's where you work 15 days to get a health insurance. Compare it to AMACE. They already got their 1.64% bonus right before Christmas. They're getting a 3.8% increase. And no concession, no loss of retirement incentive. Here's the superintendent's. She already got the 1.64% bonus, now getting a 3.8%. By the way, based on her new salary that was boosted less than a year ago by $27,000. So that 3.8 is a bigger number. She has a built-in increase to her retirement. There's no concession. Same with Mr. Carrion. Same with Mr. Allgaier. So this was the piece of information that was in the agenda on July 24th, 2012. I came here, I stood before you, and I explained how, even though it says in the background, last line, these modifications are intended to be cost neutral. It's very vague, that piece of agenda. And in the back, and in the board packet, or at least the packet that was online, there was nothing about numbers. There was nothing that said how much each of those pieces that were going to be added to the top of the salary were. And as it turned out, it was $27,000 worth, roughly, going from $166,000 to $196,000. And so at that meeting, when people said, well, okay, it's not exactly cost neutral, but it's just barely slightly an increased cost, now, less than a year later, that 3.8% is going to be added to $196,000 rather than $166,000. So it's not exactly cost neutral. Bermuda's leadership has assumed that the district values a mutually trusting relationship as much as we do. We don't really believe that the district has that as a goal as much as we do because of the things that have happened recently. Bermuda's bargaining team believed the district's team when we were told that they would ask you, the trustees, for authorization. We believed them that putting an end to the retirement incentive was important to you, the trustees. Right now, very tenuously, and I have to say not all of us, we're assuming that the trustees will correct this wrong. So the question was, who can save it? And that's you. I would love to answer any questions. I know that you've been told in the past that you're not allowed to ask questions.
We've been told by who we couldn't ask questions.
Ms. Markle told me that you were...
That's not true.
...going to violate a Brown Act or something. So.
And we have closed session meetings for a reason, and there are things that are discussed in closed session that we're not allowed to discuss in open session, and some of your information is not correct that you've put on that screen. It mystifies me how sometimes things can be changed, altered, twisted so that they look one way when they're another, and I understand things go both ways. Your 3.8, along with everybody else's 3.8, was the same 3.8 years. You guys have chose to take part of yours on your health cap. You showed $100 on the health cap plus a 2%. Did it come out to 3.8 as every other group?
The amount of money,
yes.
Percentage,
yes.
Is equal.
Right. Okay. Are there any questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. And that information, the public disclosure that you have available over there, that's incorrect also. Hold on. I haven't had a chance to look through all of them since they were just now provided when we arrived. So the one for Muta, haven't had a chance to look at the numbers, so forgive me if I miss a problem there. But on the second page, there's several questions that are asked. 12B says proposed negotiated changes in non-compensation items, i.e. class size adjustment, staff development day, teacher prep time, classified staffing ratios, etc. It has an NA. There's a huge change in our contract language. There's an enormous change in our contract language.
What is it?
Which page are you referring to?
I'm sorry. If you'll look at public disclosure of proposed collective bargaining agreement, and it's the one that on the second line here, it has name of district, and then it says name of bargaining unit, Marysville Unified Teachers Association, MUTA.
We see that. What's
okay.
The change?
On the back of the first page, so it's the second page, there's a 9, 10, 11, 12, and then there's a B that is in bold. I suppose the understanding is that you're supposed to list things that are proposed negotiated changes in non-compensation items. It's not listed. It's almost like it's being hidden in the same way that is on the agenda.
What specifically are you saying is supposed to be on there?
The change in language that anybody who is hired...
The retire incentive.
...will not get the retirement incentive in the future. Which is not something that's been taken from anybody else in this district. But was really important to the board.
Part of contract language and not compensation. Am I understanding that correctly?
Collective bargaining disclosure statements are designed to inform the board and the public of cost increases. The item that Inga refers to, the slang is a bar date, has no cost or savings effect on the district in the immediate year or in the next year, which was the terms of the agreement. The point of the disclosure, the key point of the disclosure document is to disclose additional costs to the board and to the public.
I understand that that would be the key because there is so much time and question spent on cost. However, the specific language is proposed negotiated changes in non-compensation items. There is a proposed negotiated change in non-compensated item that is not on here. It won't affect anybody for 15 years.
Correct. So since there's no immediate effect, there's no immediate cost.
It is an immediate change to the contract language.
Which is if there's an increased cost to the district due to the change.
Not what it says.
Okay, any questions?
I'm a little stunned here. A few sessions ago, before all of this took place, I remember having a number of teachers come in on behalf of MUTA and requesting that the health care be compensated a little bit more, and I'm assuming that was negotiated, the $100 there. okay, and that I also remember that Muta came and said the top administrators are receiving money that is not part of their salary. So I remember that the board, we voted, okay, let's just make it everything above board and we'll put it on their salary, and that was it. So we wouldn't have done that had Muta not brought it to the board. And if I'm not mistaken, we authorized the 1.64 to go to all the different agencies and representatives that would accept it, and Muta turned it down the first time. Is that correct? The 1.64 bonus?
The 1.64 bonus to an average teacher is equal to about $420, which is $100 less than the health insurance increase for some. And the what our members, as you should know, being a former member of the association, we have to survey our members and find out what's most important to them. And what's most important to them was the increase in a health cap, a significant relief in our health cost. We were told the board would not give us that unless we gave up the retirement incentive.
And you do realize that the health costs keep increasing and have nothing to do with what the district... We're not the health provider, okay? So, but I think...
You're correct. I am not ignorant of that fact.
And isn't it the Muta who could choose their own health provider? Can't Muta choose their own if they can get one less expensively?
I spent my entire summer trying to find such a provider. It doesn't exist.
Well, now you have a glimpse of what position we're in.
It's the same position.
Actually, I did retire from Muta, and at the time in 2004, I retired early. I accepted the Muta negotiated proposal, and they covered my insurance to 65. Through this, I'm wrapped up in the, and I know there are other board members on the board that did the same thing. And in 2004, that was the offer. I retired at 58, which was early, and I took a big hit in my retirement in order to run for the board, and it's cost me dearly that way. However, I do feel that the impact on the board has been very positive, okay, in the changes that we've made.
Personally, I pay my own insurance. Nobody pays mine. I retired from teacher's retirement. I took a big hit, as everybody does when they retire. I probably get a third of what you make right now. And I do very well on that. My wife and I do. So like the president said, some of this stuff you've been misinformed on. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Inga, anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I would like to be clear that my concern is more about the information, the communication, and what it's doing to our trust, our relationship, because I feel like we've been having a really good relationship. The latest activities have not helped with that. I am not here to tell you that the tentative agreement is good or bad. I'm just sharing information with you that I believe you didn't know. Thank you.
Operating Engineers Local Union 3. California School Employee Association 326-648, Association of Management Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, Public Comments. I have one public comment card. Frank Sorga?
Sorgi,
I'm sorry.
Mr. Sorgi.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to make a brief presentation before you. As unaccustomed to public speaking as I am, I have prepared a few notes. Well, actually, I'm here on behalf of the Marysville Rotary Club, and we wanted to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve the students at Covelod and Kynoch School with a music program. So over a year ago, I spoke with Glenn about this. It was an idea, it was a vision that we had children in our school that were not given an opportunity to learn music. And this was a particular concern to me because I know that we have what I think is a premier music program in the area with the Charter Academy. And I know as a musician myself that in order to get into the Charter Academy, in order to be a high school musician, it helps to be an intermediate school or elementary school musician. If they learn it at 6, 7, and 8 years old, it sticks with them. It's like learning a language. And we know there's tons of research. You can go on the internet and pull this up on what the influence of music education has in terms of an enhancement to overall academic performance. I was in law enforcement for years, Mr. Harris. We know that there's a term called resiliency. We know that one of the things that promotes resiliency in education are the enhancement programs, and music is one of those. I was very tickled today to see in the paper a picture of a cute little girl playing a recorder and a nice write-up in the paper with it sounded positive. It's nice to hear something good going on in Marysville, you know. And it really made my day. Then today, this afternoon at lunch, we had one of the Rotarians said that over the weekend she even had some friends over to meet at their house, and they had a lunch, and one of the little girls had brought her recorder with her, and she got out a recorder, took it out of her case, and was very proud of it, and showed it to her, and showed her how to clean it, and could play a scale with it, and just very just pleased as she could be with that. I think that's a very important thing, and Rotary is very happy to be able to be a part of it in the community. We look forward to a continued relationship over the years. We know that eventually the budgets are going to get better and you're going to be able to put full-time teachers back in the music programs. We encourage you to do that. We just want to be a stopgap measure to make sure that a couple of years from now we still have kids going into intermediate school and into the high school music program. So thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity. You bet. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the work that John Pimentel has done on this. I came to him with an idea, and he has picked it up and ran with it, and it's been fantastic. It's been great working with the district all the way through. Everybody's seen this as a good idea, and, you know, it's been a real pleasure to work with him. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Well, I have two items, but one of them has already been taken about the Marysville High School winning the academic decathlon and moving on to the state level championship. So kudos to them, and I know that they've done a lot of hard work to get there. The second good piece of information I want to share with you is that Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts was eligible to apply for Distinguished School Award, and they have submitted their application. Their application has been selected as worthy of a site visit, so we are expecting that will go very smoothly, and we're hoping that we'll have good news to share with you in the next couple of months that they are going to have another flag for us in our boardroom. So congratulations for making it through the first hurdle for the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. And that's all I have this evening.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of January 22nd, 2013. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Make the motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent agenda? Is there a motion on the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, there is no old business, new business. This is Resolution 2012-13-22, Support Read Across America Day. Any questions, comments? No, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay. Vote for CSBA Delegate Assembly Subregion 4C. The purpose of this item is to allow the board to nominate a representative from the California School Board Association Delegate Subregion 4C for a 2-year term. We can vote for the CSBA delegate from our subregion 4C. Okay, we have 3 options. Vote for the nominated candidate, which is Charmaine Kobayashi, again from Yuba City Unified School District. Vote for a write-in candidate or not submit a ballot. Any questions, comments?
I serve up with Charmaine, and she is a very good delegate, recognized throughout the state as being extremely knowledgeable. She's done a good job.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, then we'll entertain a motion for one of the 3.
I make the motion that we support Charmaine Kobayashi.
Okay, motion by Mr. Fleury to vote for the nominated candidate, which is Charmaine Kobayashi from the Yuba City Unified School District. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Personnel Services, number 1, tentative agreement with Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Mr. Carrion.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you and good evening. We have a series of tentative agreements before us tonight, which in effect has the same percentage value to each of the bargaining groups. And we'll begin with requesting that the board approve the tentative agreement for the Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carrion. Questions?
Mr. Carrion, Marysville Unified, I assume, approved this agreement?
It's going through the ratification process, from what I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's what he just said, that it's going through the ratification process. So, any other questions or comments?
One of the comments I have is I voted for this from the 3.0 that we had authorized up to 3.8. I just have a concern that we do not know at this time what we're going to bring back of the class of the positions that were cut. We've cut so much at the sites, so much through the district. And I remember when we had the old budget committee, which Bernie and I were a member of, Mark made the comment that once we have a little bit of money, we've got to make sure that we can bring back some of these positions we've cut. And it's good to give the increases, and I don't deny anybody an increase, but we cannot forget that we have cut some positions, and they're cut some of them to the bone at sites. And that's the concern I have, that we're giving the increases. When I'd asked before for it to be placed, that we can talk about positions we're going to bring back, and it's not been on the agenda. So it's kind of, I'm not going to against this raise, any raise, but I need to, as a board member, know the whole picture. What are we going to do to replace some of these positions we've cut? You can't give it all out in salary, so we need to have the total picture of how much extra we have to replace some of these positions that have gone.
You will, obviously, you've been on the board a long time, know that until the governor's budget is approved, we won't know what that total amount is. And so certainly we do want to set a priority list, and we will do that in subsequent meetings.
That's what I've asked for 3 meetings now, to have a priority list.
I do have some concerns. I recollect that we did have a board meeting where we authorized our representatives to negotiate up to 3%. Now, any mathematical equation that we put together, we are almost a whole percentage point above that. That is hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. I am all for the arrangements that we have made with the increases for our teachers. The question that I have to ask is, if we as a board said 3.0, how did we get to 3.86 without our okie-dokie?
Did you not receive a telephone call from Mr. Carrion?
Yes, I did.
And did he not ask about increasing it to 3.8?
Yes, he did.
And
but that is the problem. The problem is, I have a couple of issues with that. First of all, we are doing this business over the phone. We had no time to think about what was going on. We did not discuss that amongst ourselves. When Mr. Carrion called me, it was in the latter part of the afternoon. He told me he would call me in the morning. He left a voicemail. He called me by 7 o'clock that night, still looking for a decision to be made. I got to tell you, I do not do business that way, and it was uncomfortable.
Did you vote no?
No, I did not.
Okay. I received the same call and reviewed the information and gave an affirmative direction. I'm assuming the rest of the board is the same thing.
I was more thinking that the proper way of handling this would have come, he would have went into negotiations, whoever did the negotiating for us, would have went in there knowing that we had topped out at 3.0 instead of asking for such a large increase in the manner it was done. It is not comfortable.
You know, at the time I voted also, and I remember Mr. Carrion called a couple times, and then I finally called him back, and he says, could we go the extra 8% somewhere in the negotiations?
0.8.
And I figured it out in my mind real quick, and I said, Romero, this extra 0.8, isn't that roughly $300,000, $321,000? And he said, that Mark had said we could do it, and I said at that time, I'm still concerned that we have no priority list to bring these people back. And he said at the time, am I correct, Romero, that that would be a board decision, right?
I did say that that's a discussion for the board to take up.
And I expressed my concern at that time. I was worried about going up another 8.8% with no priority list, and how much we're going to bring these people back, or that it just concerned me. I told him I would vote on. I just didn't feel comfortable with the extra eight.
If you feel uncomfortable, you should say no. You always have the option of saying no, Jim. Just like we told you, you have the option of saying no if you're uncomfortable. And you don't feel like you're doing business properly. Tell him no.
No, I didn't feel it was not doing properly. I just wanted to know how a priority list that we were going to bring back. So I remember on the
old. I understand your concern, Jim. If you feel uncomfortable with anything,
I'm not going to deny our employees an increase, but I just feel that we should have a list. And I remember Mark specifically said that when I used to have a budget committee, which we no longer have, that we need to have a priority list to bring them back, and I've not seen one yet. And that's why I kept asking for, and Frank asked, could we have a list? Did you not, Frank?
That's correct.
Have a list to bring back the classified. But
that's a different issue than the contract we're talking about right now.
This is why I keep bringing up the committees.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting off track. Let's get back on the track here. Are there any other questions about the tentative agreement with the Marysville Unified Teachers Association? No more questions? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move to approve the tentative agreement with MUTA.
Okay, motion by Mr. Rex, second by Mr. Fleury, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
7 yes. Personnel Services number 2, this tentative agreement with CSEA 648. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, this tentative agreement with CSEA local chapter 648 has the same percentage value of 3.8%. and recommend the board approve this tentative agreement.
Questions? Any comments? Okay, is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Personnel Services, number three. This is a tentative agreement with AMACE. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, in similar fashion, the tentative agreement with the Association of Management Confidential Employees has the same percentage value of 3.8% and recommend that the board approve this tentative agreement.
Questions? Comments? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move to accept the tentative agreement with AMES.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Danable. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay. Personnel Services, number four. This is an agreement with Superintendent. Mr. Carrion?
Yes. In like manner, we have the next three tentative agreements for cabinet members, beginning with the superintendent and having the same percentage value of 3.8%, and we recommend the board approve it.
Any questions?
On this one, are we, which percent are we using? What we did before, the rolled over salary or the 3.8, what are we figuring it on? What the salary was before we rolled everything in one package?
It's 3.8% of the base salary, which is the only salary that cabinet members get, is a base salary now. There are no stipends, no incentives, no bonuses. It's just a base salary
that we had last year
that was restructured in July.
I have a question. I got to see if I have this right in my mind. We have selected somebody to do negotiating for us within the district with these teachers' groups. That person who is representing us is also a person negotiating for their own interest and for the superintendent and another assistant. Am I understanding that? And my question is, why would they, the superintendent, why would we be giving them a 3.8% increase? It makes no sense to me.
Well, each group, okay, if you treat each group equally, then this would be the same for our top administrators increase that we just gave to AMES, which is all the other administrators.
I get that, okay. But the administrators we have are making the big dollars already. We just gave them money.
And I think you could say that about the President of the United States, or you can say that about someone who runs any kind of large organization, that they're probably not going to be at the bottom of the pay scale if they're running the company.
Which we have done. That's their salaries. They are the top of the pay scale.
That's true. Okay.
There is no pay scale
for,
right, well, whatever the agreement was.
But
I mean, if we would have stayed at 3%, would their increase be 3%?
Yes.
I'm seeing a conflict where we said 3%, we're up to 3.86. Yes, we agreed. But now we have two assistant superintendents and a superintendent that are going to get 3.8% increase.
The same percentage as everybody else. That's if we vote yes. Okay. It's one of those things that I see is, if you're going to treat one group differently than any other group, then I think that's a mistake, not only, you know, in policy, but it does a disrespect for the people that you have working for you. If you go right to the top and say the board members, then if they took the same pay we had, nobody would be working.
Just treating one group different from another would cause a requirement
separate issue.
Again, I would just say if you're not comfortable with it, don't vote for it. And they're unrepresented.
Right. No,
that's why
yeah.
they negotiate for themselves. They're unrepresented.
Why would they need representation to get more money? Why don't they just come to the board and ask us?
That's basically what they're doing.
How do we come up with the same numbers? What's good for one is good for another.
Good
is that what we are? See, that's funny because I look at one side of it as one way, the workers, and the other side as management.
That's true. One side is work and one line staff and the other is management. But we gave our other management the same contract. We just gave AMACE the same contract.
Any other questions, concerns, comments? Okay, personnel services number 4. Is there a motion?
Since I've been talking quite a bit, I'll move to approve personnel services number 4, agreement with the superintendent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
4. Okay, motion does not carry. Personnel services. Number 5, agreement with Assistant Superintendent of Personnel Services.
Yes, similar tentative agreement, requesting that the board consider approval for 3.8% value to the Assistant Superintendent of Personnel Services.
Okay, are there any questions, comments? Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
3 yes, opposed? 4. Motion does not carry. Personnel services number 6, agreement with Assistant Superintendent of Business Services.
Yes, tentative agreement slated for consideration of a 3.8% value for the Assistant Superintendent of Business Services.
Questions? Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Rex. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor? 3 yes, opposed. 4 opposed. Okay, that is the last item on the agenda. Mr. Fleury, you have somebody that you want to close in memory of?
I'm closing the meeting, would like us to close the meeting. And for Bobby Lee, who is Michelle Clavel's father, he passed away on Super Bowl Sunday. And when I went to the funeral, it was the largest funeral I've ever been to. I would guesstimate there was 1,000 people there.
1,200.
Huge funeral. What a testimony to someone, the life he lived. And I'm requesting that a letter be sent to Michelle at Kynoch.
Okay, with that, meeting's adjourned.